Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, September 17th, 2019. Thanks for joining us. Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a cell phone mission tonight, Gary Wyatt. He's reading cell phone.
Hold on. Oh, okay. I just got on Facebook.
Oh, okay. So it's a good thing. It's a good cell phone mission.
Yes. How you doing?
September 17th, man.
Yes, it is.
Dang. Where's the time going? It's flying by. Seems like it was just January.
Hey, I'm glad I'm late to this conversation between Gary and Kevin Terrell.
Oh, my gosh.
I can only imagine.
I don't think I want to know
what
they're saying.
Yeah.
But here's how far off of time I am. I got to, like, scramble to get copper. And so I got this job for Thursday morning, right? Got to be there at 7 o'clock. So I got to make sure James is getting there. And that's why I'm stressing out. Right?
Now so, I see why you're stressing.
So I got Alex running. Get copper over here, because they didn't have it all at one place. Two different places. I got like $2,000 worth of copper on my truck. So please don't come by and get it.
And what was that address we were going to?
So, you know, so we're he gets it all out and said, all right, cool. So they go to the shop, get some other materials and stuff. I said, okay, make sure you're there tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. He's like, all right, I'll be there at 7. As a matter of fact, I'll leave my house at 6. And Alex's like, okay, I'll meet him there. And then I call Juan. He's supposed to hang some hangers and stuff for it. He's like, I was like, hey, what time are you going to be there, man? He's like, probably 9. I got a job today. I was like, 9? I said, what about? He goes, well, that's not till Thursday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. I was like, oh, never mind. I was like, oh, James. Like, hey, don't be there at 7 tomorrow. That's how far off I am. I believe I'm early. I'm a day early.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was thinking today. I guess that's the problem. I wasn't thinking today. So I knew it was Tuesday because I planned on being here, but for some reason I thought it went from Tuesday to Thursday.
Missed the day.
No. Anyways, I'm glad it's Tuesday.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. It's Tuesday.
Thanks, Matt Esposito, for being here. Appreciate it.
Yo.
Thanks for keeping us in line.
I don't know about that.
Well,
thanks for keeping us on.
Yeah, online. How about that? Thanks online. For keeping us online.
Online.
But what's up with you lately? Anything good, bad, indifferent?
No. Out of NASCAR this weekend.
That's good. Hey, NASCAR is always good. When you have a NASCAR weekend, right? That's always a good thing, I think.
Always.
Always.
Hot. What else would we do without the heat?
Because it was funny because it was like mild, and then the 2 days for the weekend was 100, 101, whatever, and then back down to like 95 after that.
Saturday was hot. Sunday kind of cooled off a little bit. We had a little bit of a breeze, some overcast.
So that's cool. I mean, a lot of guys like yourselves were out there doing the driver's drive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
For what, 3 days or 2 days? Saturday?
For 2 days.
Sunday?
Yes.
But you guys were able to watch the races. And did you go to any truck race? No?
No, I didn't go to a truck race. Okay. But, yeah, no, I want to thank Tim Richter for, you know, allowing all of us to come out and take that opportunity.
Right. No, it's good. I'm glad they opened it up to, you know, the guys at the local level to do that. Helps, you know. Helps get them involved, you know.
And the stands on Sunday, I would say about 70-75% full.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Not just the red, white, and blue seats that make it look full. No.
Oh, no, that they were pretty full. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
It was a really good turnout.
Good for our economy. And this, of course, was this the second year of the September
correct
set of races, so that's good to see it packed as it is. I didn't go. I'm sorry, I didn't make it.
Why not?
Too busy. I got other things I got to get done, which I never end up getting done when I'm supposed to get done. But then I never have fun either, so I'm just a mess. But you guys got to have fun. Did you do it both days, Matt?
Saturday and Sunday.
So what drivers did you end up getting?
Yep.
Steven,
exactly.
Yep. One of those and one of them.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
It's hard to tell because
all racers look alike.
No.
Yeah.
They're all about 4'2".
Okay.
They're reading the names and the driver's walking across the stage. You don't pull up right when the driver gets there.
But the prior drivers are getting loaded up, you don't know who you got. I think I had Landon Castle. I think one of them was Landon Castle. I don't know. I really don't. I know his name was Landon.
You heard it here first.
I don't know.
I think his name. No, I'm just kidding. So I haven't done that yet, but to the whole process, you get decent parking, I guess, when you get there.
Oh, this year was kick-ass parking.
Really? Okay.
Thanks to Tim, I'm sure.
You hang the little tag. It says Lot 3. Pull up
right
Las
there.
Vegas Boulevard. Turn it at Exit 4. You go up.
Right to the tunnel.
And the guy waves you right to the tunnel. You're like,
okay.
Drive through the tunnel. The lot where we pick up the trucks to drive is right to the left.
Right.
How
do they assign the trucks? They just give you the trucks numbered, or do you just
what trucks?
The Toyota trucks.
The trucks we drive?
Yeah.
No, you just go run and get one.
Just try and get whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Are they all the same or different?
No, they're red, white, and blue.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And they make you go out red, white, and blue.
Okay.
Then red,
so
white,
whatever,
blue, then red, white,
they're lined
blue
up as you just
yep
the next in line gets
yep
in the next one. And
I'm being told here that Gary Griffiths had Kevin Harvick.
Oh, cool.
So
did he give him any like jolts to shake him up a little? You know, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear those stories.
Knowing Gary, yes. Is he supposed to?
No. Again, Gary doing what he's not supposed to be doing.
That's right. Knowing Gary, yes, he probably tried to shake him out of it.
Does anybody ever get like a driver that they like want? You know, I mean, I don't know if you have any.
Well,
they
used to do that.
Oh,
but I'm asked to drive a driver, so
you guys are they allowed to like go trade with somebody? Like, oh man, I really love Kevin Harvick.
No, nobody trades with nobody.
No, really?
No, because you don't know. Well,
till the last minute, who you're
going to
get?
No, they kind of from the starting order, they try to get that truck for that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just say Harvick.
Yeah,
you want Harvick? Well, actually, I think Gary said he was going to get Kurt Busch originally, and then now I'm being told he had Harvick. So it's just however they
from their practice starting
qualifying.
Qualifying.
And then I heard, I don't know because I don't keep up with it, but something about they didn't do the top 16 in order or something
kind
like
of random
that. Yeah, kind of random. So
interesting. And that is that for both.
And Gary said he tried to shake Harvick out, but he said I tried.
We bums the word. We won't say nothing. So who was it? Did they just do it for the top drivers, not all the drivers? All the drivers. Even in Xfinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who got Stan Mullis?
Oh, somebody way up there.
So I was like, who'd you get? Well, it's a local guy. We drive around together anyways every weekend.
So.
I had Suarez.
Suarez. He had so many shirts out there in red that said Amigo on it. So,
Amigo.
I'm not sure if Justin is talking about me or talking about Gary Griffiths, but it said Saturday Gary had Landon Castle and Justin Haley. So I know I had a Landon, so I'm assuming that's me.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I knew I had a Landon because Sean's son's name is Landon, right. And I had him with me. So
yeah, a Landon.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So, like, they do their introduction, you guys.
Gary's saying it was by points top 16.
Oh, okay.
So then that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Top 16.
Yeah, I just walked and got a truck. I wanted a blue truck, so I went and got a blue truck.
Do they have like the little windows?
No,
in between.
This year they didn't.
Oh.
Last year and the year prior they did. Yes, had the windows. You can open them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because with that one open, you get some air going through.
Right.
You know, because you got to have your windows down. But with that back one, it kind of flows better. Yeah.
Turn the AC up for the driver. Say, hey,
you're not allowed to
stick your head in here.
You're
really?
Not allowed to.
What?
Because they don't want water on the track.
Oh.
You know, the condensation.
Really?
Now, when
that's
we were sitting.
That's a little tidbit I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's
but
cool.
When we were sitting in there waiting for the 45 minutes, we were allowed to have the windows up and the AC going to be cool. But as soon as they said, okay, we're moving, the windows had to go down and the AC off.
Oh.
And that's the first year they allowed us to do that, that I've been doing it.
And how quick did they start racing after the
drop
them off?
Oh, it was probably
half an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say 20 minutes, a half an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's still pretty quick, though.
We had a chance to park the truck that we were driving and walk over and get in the neon garage and watch the starting.
How do they know if you brought the truck back or not? Could you, like, kept going and wave and just, I got me a new Toyota. No.
Well, there's a speed limit this year, too. We got to do 30.
Oh, yes. There you go. Usually, it's 15 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. So double.
Yeah. And then I kept hearing on the radio, you know, they have all the trucks have radios. They say, if you're still on the track, 30 is okay. And I think that's where Gary said, okay, now I can dump Harvick.
I'm going to step on it. My only time to dump Harvick.
Right.
I'll never get to dump him again. So is there like a, not really a pace vehicle, but somebody kind of leading you guys? Or
no, the first red truck, you know, because it's red, white, and blue. So the first red truck.
Who you know, who had that first red
truck? No, just random people, you know.
Because you're picking up at the bottom of the field.
Mm-hmm.
The first truck gets
the
last.
Of the standings.
Right.
So you're picking up the 40th. The 39th and 40th guy go to the first truck.
Okay.
37, 38 go to the second truck. So we're going backwards.
I'm just curious who was up front, who had
the. So by the way they're reading the names, sets the spacing for the trucks.
So they have, you said they said pick up, so they have radios you can.
Yeah, they have radios that the main guy talks to all the trucks.
Okay.
So if he talks to
so
you,
a two-way radio.
Yeah. Well, like when they're yelling at Gary Griffiths.
Yeah.
Everybody can hear him being yelled at. So
all on the same channel.
Yeah, they're all on the same channel. Yeah.
And you can tell who races and who doesn't of the drivers, because when you get around to the backstretch, anyone who's driven a race car is riding the white line on the apron
because
we can't go on to the embankment.
Oh, I see.
But they're riding all the way to the right.
As far as they can go. And then every once in a while they'll get that wheel up there on the bank. Yeah,
yeah, you get a little bit of it. And then everybody else is like more towards the middle.
Interesting. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you have like, so yourself and then another person in the car
in the truck. Yeah. Well, yeah, I had Landon and then I had Sean.
Oh, but no,
Landon,
nobody else.
No, Landon was Saturday and Sean was Sunday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool.
You could have went.
I was doing stuff.
But the drivers aren't allowed to use cell phones, so your guest has to do it for you.
Did you get any like selfies or pictures?
No, I didn't know the guys I had, so. He wasn't familiar to me.
You didn't even know he was in the truck yet. Is that the guy? I'm not sure. So we'll just drive.
Uh-huh.
If I get yelled at, I'll know.
Yeah. But
this is the only ride along. I don't know his name. So we pull up to the front by the start finish line.
Oh.
We have our windows down. And then everyone starts walking across.
Was there
the front field, and all the crickets came out of that grass.
There's a lot with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
But they're worried about condensation on the track. What about these guys? These guys would do more damage on the track than anything.
No. So you're sitting there with the windows open, and then all of a sudden they just
start flying.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, our cricket made it the whole lap around the track.
So when you're done doing your – what, they do one full lap?
Yeah.
One full
– yeah, you pick them up on, like, one side of the start-finish line, and then you run them into the pitch all the way around the whole track into the
pit area,
yeah. And then you go down pit row to go put the truck back.
Do you drop them off somewhere in the pit?
Yeah.
Is it like one
– no, on pit row, not in the pits,
row. I see. Do you go to their pit spot or just one – everybody stops?
No, because all the cars are parked – towards the beginning of pit road.
Oh, okay.
So you like coming right at the, what is it, the quarter mile right in the front?
Yeah.
Just kind of hook it in there.
Hook a left quick. And then, I don't know. These guys on the track, they see a truck coming and it's like they just walk in the front of you. You just like, you got to stop for us.
And you're trying not to slam the brake on or anything.
No, they're all yelling at him, move. You know,
well, on Saturday, so we come up next to the wall, and then you loop around and you pick up the driver.
No,
Saturday
you got the whole
beautiful.
Track. You got the whole track to make a U-turn.
Oh,
the whole wide of the how
Saturday
wide the track
was
is.
Beautiful.
Right.
Sunday, every VIP douchebag that you could possibly think of. No. Pushing. We had what? Maybe
half the track to make the same U-turn.
Oh, wow. Because the tracks are just packed with
with people, you know.
After
introduction. Like he says, no, during the introduction.
Oh, during, okay.
Yeah. So you're coming down the middle of the track, half embankment, you're trying to make that turn.
Wow.
And everyone's like pointing and snapping and... You're trying not to hit people. People are just walking. They're opening your door. I want a ride. Well, that's good.
You should give them rides.
Yeah, all these VIPs.
VIPs.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
I'm being told that Justin Griffiths had the AC cranked up and taking selfies of Chris Bell.
Okay.
And Ryan Blaney. Chris Bell on Saturday and Ryan Blaney on Sunday.
So only one thing he's not supposed to do, but two things he's not supposed to do.
Let me say that again. I'm dealing with the Griffiths here. So
there might have been some water on the track, and if there was, we might know who it's from.
So there is the reason why Kyle Busch hit the wall at the beginning.
Because he
hit Justin's water.
Justin.
That's right.
Well, we figured it out. So, Kyle, we know who you should be mad at.
That's right.
Speaking of Kyle.
Wait. Before you get to that, I just want to shout out to Glenn Brown. Thanks for doing everything you do for the Bomber Nation, Glenn.
Cool. Yep. Glenn Brown for forever now, keeping it up to date. And sometimes getting information that we don't even know.
he getting information faster than we are.
Like,
so
I don't remember ever taking that picture. There it is. So he must does paint shot or whatever they call that, you know, where they make their own pictures and stuff like that. So,
but yeah, so Kyle tagged the wall early in the race
because of Justin running
the
AC.
Because of the condensation.
But was behind a couple laps, about lap 40-something, high 40s. He got back onto the lead lap.
Oh, okay.
And then he was just picking cars off. Every two laps, just picking a car off.
Really?
Got himself all the way up to sixth.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
With like 17 laps left. Went into turn one. One guy went low. One guy stayed center. And he just smacked him. It was almost like a brake check.
Oh, wow. In the back of another.
So then during the interviews, he was upset because that driver was 12 laps down. It was a newer driver. So I wanted to bring up the question. Who has What's the protocol? Who has the right of way?
Well, I don't know what the rules are in super speedway racing, so that's a tough question to answer for us, but I would assume you have spotters.
At 140 miles, 160,
right.
whatever it is.
Obviously, that car probably came up really quick on him, you know, but I would – was it a straight-up shot, or was it like –
It was
like,
between turn one and two. So when the car in front of him went low, it revealed the car directly in front of him. He had no time to move out of the way.
Right. Well, that's toughy.
But that car was 12 laps down.
Well, what should that car have done? I mean, he's holding his line. The car in front of Kyle went low.
Right.
Correct? I mean, I'm just going by what you're saying, because I didn't see any footage. I didn't see any of the race or anything like that. So I'm just going by what you're saying. So this car went low in front of Kyle, and that at the slower 12, the lap car was just directly in front of that one, basically one car length away, and he had no time to react. It's kind of what you're saying. I don't know, it's a tough call because you have spotters and stuff that I think, but I don't know how they spot in professional racing, but
I know how my spotter spots.
Depends, right? Man, that's toughy because what's the question?
Should cars on the lead lap have priority? Should
what do you mean?
I think any car racing or is it racing's racing and they should drive around the slower cars?
Well, here's the thing. They could be 12 laps down, but they're racing at race speeds or close to race speeds. Now, if they were underpowered and not at a sufficient speed, I don't know what the protocol is, and you guys can chime in what the protocol is for NASCAR. Are they supposed to stay their line? Are they supposed to run the slower cars to the top, the slower cars to the bottom? I don't know.
Gary Griffiths has already said the lapper is supposed to hold his line.
And that sounds like what he did, except the car in front of Kyle had dropped low because he ran up onto the guy's bumper and then ran down, you know, went low. And that slower lapped car was just there. He didn't even know who's behind him or what was going on behind him, right?
Yeah, but there again, that's where the spotter should be talking to him.
Right.
I would think. Because that guy can't see who's behind him.
Yeah, and you know, and usually Kyle doesn't have this type of situation happen, so it's probably just a fluke. Because he's usually really good about this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Running up, you know, these guys are experienced running up on lap traffic, so they know kind of what is going to happen. I'm sure they try to predict, you know, a situation.
More times than not, what's going to happen.
You know, obviously, you can't always predict the correct outcome, but you try to, I think, play it out on what you think is going to happen. So this is a
ill loop.
Oops. We're going to take a minute of silence while I watch this.
Okay. To answer Glenn's question, me, right here, I am.
What, giving away $1 million?
No.
Me?
Yeah.
We're all in.
Glenn Brand said, question, who's going to touch a truck? I said, me.
Well, I'll be there.
I am.
Oops. Okay, well, man, that's tough. Let me look at this again. So I see a couple things going on here. You guys could talk. I'm just watching.
I'm watching Facebook Live.
It looked like Kyle did try to get down. He just didn't get far enough. Oh, man. I hate when incidences like that happen.
Right. But he was upset.
No, Kyle upset? Yeah. Come on. No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and understandably, because you, first of all,
something about inexperienced late model car
something
driver.
Oh, really? Oh, he
said,
had some words?
Oh, he said in his interview, we got guys that hasn't even won a late model race, and they're out here racing with us.
well, you know what? They pay the same entry fee and pass the same criteria to be on that track. Then how can you be upset at them? You should be aware of. Obviously, he knew who this person was if he commented on them. So he knew they were on the track.
To your surprise, Kevin Terrell is late again. He's asking, what are we watching?
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
He should have been here, and he would know what we were watching.
Good question. Good question. Matt was talking about the track incident on the NASCAR race on Sunday with Kyle Busch getting in the back of a lapped, slower vehicle. And Matt was showing me a video replay of that particular time frame of that happening. So that's what I was looking at. So I was seeing a couple things happening because it looked like that slower car was undecided and maybe was going to start to drop low. And then Kyle was also dropping, but not fast enough, dropping low to get around him. Didn't have enough room. And then, of course, bumped the back end of that car. So, you know, that's part of racing, whether it's super speedway racing or short track racing, there's going to be lapped traffic. All the cars out there are not going to always be on the lead lap, right?
So apparently, let's see, everyone's chiming in here.
Uh-huh.
And we won't pick, we're just going to, it's random what we pick and choose from. So if we skip what your comment is or anything, it's not, you know, on purpose. It's just random comments that we may make on a comment.
Between Kevin, Gary, and Justin, Smithley was supposed to go high.
Okay.
His spotter told him to go high.
Okay.
Kyle's spotter told him to hold. Smithley didn't go high.
Okay. So we have an incident where, like, the spotters are communicating with each other, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Spotters communicating with their drivers.
Well, no, you're saying that both spotters are communicating with each other, saying my guy's gonna go high, right?
That I'm not sure, but apparently, Smithley's spotter told him to go high.
Told his own driver to go high.
Once Kyle got to him.
Yeah, and then Kyle's spotter told him to hold the center.
She told Kyle to hold the center.
Center, yeah. But the spotters, I don't think we're talking to each other.
So
I think the spotters were talking to their drivers.
Yeah, but that means nothing then, because it's just the driver's call then. Because if you're Kyle and that guy doesn't move, you don't know he's going to go high unless your spotters are communicating with each other saying, hey, I told my guy to go high when you get up on his bumper. And if he didn't listen, then that's a problem. But the spot, you know, if one spotter is telling his driver one thing, I don't know what's happening in the other car, right? Mm-hmm. Unless that what they're talking about is spotter communication also. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm reading that wrong, but.
Well, I just brought it up because some of that happened at the Bullring. And it's
under what? All different divisions. It happened
right
in all different divisions, whether it's skid plate,
mm-hmm,
Bomber, Superstock, you know, Legends, Bandoleros, Modifieds, you know, anything, super late models, or late model racers that never won a race before. it happens, but our local track here at LVMS, slower traffic moves high, moves up, you know, up high, and it's my thought is that it's the driver's responsibility at that point, knowing where you are on the track and who else is on that track. Now, obviously, super speedway racing is different. It's a lot faster speeds. You rely a lot more on spotter communication, I assume. So I think, I think the breakdown is within his own team. Which means the spotter communication or spotter to spotter communication, because they talk about that all the time.
Right.
And again, I'm speaking of out of my own opinion. I don't know the procedures and all that of any of these, but I would assume spotter to spotter communication is happening all the time. Am I wrong on this, or I hear about it all the time. This spotter's making deals with this spotter, and this spotter's talking to this, you know, on these different teams.
Kevin says he don't think the spotters were talking.
Okay.
Talked. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, obviously,
I don't think
it didn't look like
spotters talked.
It didn't look like it, because then the was that a 52 car or whatever would have went up high, and
right.
Kyle would have
went right by him.
Yeah, went right by him. So if that was supposed to happen, it didn't happen. So where's the real breakdown of what happened? I don't know. I know on a local level, who do we blame? The driver, right? We don't always blame the lap car, do we, for getting in the way? I don't know. Is it?
Justin says here that the Smitty car, or
Smithley.
Smithley car, was running the high groove until that lap. Then he went to the middle.
Okay. Was there a higher lap? It looked pretty high, but yeah, there might have been more room, maybe. I don't know. But
the last 10 laps, he had ran the high groove until that lap, is what Justin says.
Okay. So, and that may be true, because the clip only shows three to five second window or whatever it is. So it doesn't show the whole lap before.
We don't have the history.
You know what, you know, and maybe that's a key point that Kyle knew this guy's been running high. So coming around
and
the
maybe,
next lap,
maybe
he should be up.
Obviously
high
we don't know, but maybe Kyle's spotter said, hey, he's been up there the last 10 or 12 eight laps.
Yeah,
we don't know, but he's been up there this many laps. So, you know, stay in the middle.
Right.
And then that guy decided to move. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and was there any other problems, I guess, on the track with the same car previous that we
Not
don't
with
know?
Kyle.
No. Well, we don't know, because it didn't happen with Kyle. Yeah. It could have been.
The only previous to that was Kyle slipped in Justin's water hit the wall. So
that was the initial.
Yeah, that
problem.
Was the initial problem. That's why Kyle was chasing that car all day long.
This whole thing started because of that.
Uh-huh.
And there might have been residual water that took out Kurt also.
Yeah.
So we'll blame Justin for that.
No, we'll blame Gary for that one.
Okay.
He probably had his AC on.
He had his AC on too. So
Kurt ended up out of the race also.
And you know what? I believe that. Because Gary was supposed to have Kurt, and he didn't get him, so that's how he got
sabotage.
Kurt back. Yeah, huh?
Sabotage.
There you go. Yep. Got it.
So we figured something out
there.
Uh-huh.
But no, it brings up a good question, because...
Well, just I know at a local level, I don't know if it's just courtesy. I don't believe it's a rule.
In your experience at what you've seen at, whether it's our local track or any other tracks,
cars go high.
Okay, but have you ever seen an incident happen, and what did you think of that incident? Was it did you always blame the lap car, or was it sometimes the approaching lead lap vehicle, vehicle?
See, it's kind of hard, because you get into a turn when you're two or three wide. You're using up the track.
Now, unless you see that, and this is just an opinion, I guess. I'm talking short track. If that lapped vehicle can't safely move up, you know, it's coming up, lap traffic's coming up, you know, you're part of that lap traffic, of course, but the faster vehicles are coming up quick, or you're in the mix already and you can't safely move up, you should hold your line. Am I correct? You know, and if you hold your line and this faster vehicle comes up and rear ends you, whose fault is that? It's not. What's a lap traffic guy supposed to do? He's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
See, and if he did make a sudden move, you're still going to be pissed off at him, because he should have stood his line. He should have held his line, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you would probably think?
See, now in skid plate, the slower cars are low, because we're going faster, so the centrifugal force is pulling us to the wall. So we usually ride from...
Well, that should tell you what line you should be running against the wall. There should be scrape marks all along that wall from your skid plate. I'm just joking, by the way.
Yeah,
you
I think we
do
should
do that to the wall.
I think we should have three tires and two skids. Two front, two skids in the back.
You should have one tire and three skids.
And one sideways mounted to the back corner and just ride the wall all
yep.
the way around.
You guys got it all wrong. You guys got it all wrong.
Okay.
You guys got it all wrong. Three skids and one tire.
Okay.
Left front tire, the other three skids.
Just no, yeah. That'll be tough, but.
You want some entertainment? That'll get you some entertainment.
We'll bring the saws off. We'll cut that the CB joint wherever so you don't get one of those tires rolling. Oh, well.
Hey, whatever
yeah,
it
no,
takes.
I'll pass.
No, whatever it takes.
I've pivoted on one wheel. Thank you.
I mean, from your experience, Gary, what you've seen, is it a lot of times you get mad at the lap vehicle for being in the way?
Well,
I mean, are you young?
Are you yeah, talking heard, about me personally? Me personally,
well,
I don't.
I mean, you've been in an experience, obviously, where you come up along two lap traffic.
Yes.
And what do you expect them to do?
To hold their line. I expect them to hold their line. I don't care if it's
so
low,
say,
small, medium,
let's say you,
or.
Let's say you're running up on them, and uh-huh. I don't care if it's a bomber division or a super late model division or whatever. You're running up on them, and they have room to get up high, and that's what's told in a driver's meeting or something slower traffic to
go,
the outside.
Go.
Should they move?
Well, should they go up? In my opinion, I would rather them hold their line and I'll work my way around them. Most of the time, if you come up on a slower car, you're not just going to blow right by them. Most of the time, you're going to see where or what they're doing, and then you're going to go around them.
So you're watching for that when you're coming up to these?
Absolutely. When you're coming up, that's me personally.
So if you stretch that track out to be how big is this track?
Mile and a half.
A mile and a half, and it's fast.
Well,
you're tripling your speed.
No, you're not going to. Me, I would prefer them to just hold their line because knowing they're going to hold their line, then you know where you're going to go.
Right.
It rather it takes you out of your groove. You're still faster, and you're going to get around them, and that's where the patience come in.
So,
now a lot of guys don't have patience. They just try to blow through. Blow right
yeah.
by them and be done with it. But, you know, if you...
Well, I guess some of that would be determined by who the next driver is. If you're fighting for position, you know, a lead position
yeah,
or even second, third, or whatever position.
Yeah, it all depends on if you're leading, how far the second car behind you
now,
is.
Now, again, I don't know about, you know, NASCAR rules and stuff. For super speedway racing, but the move over flag is for the first place car for lap traffic, correct?
Yes.
Not the second place guy.
No.
Not the third place guy.
First
not
place.
The fourth place. So how does this, is it the same in super speedway racing? And if it is, then whose fault is it? Is it still the fault of like a lap vehicle not getting out of the way? Because they can be wherever they want then if they're not getting a move over flag or being told on the radio, hey, you got faster traffic coming up behind you. I don't know. Again, I'm ignorant to all of that.
Well,
so.
See,
yeah.
in as you know, bombers are not supposed to have radio communication. So it's pretty much you're on your own. You can't,
right.
you know, you're not being told who's behind you, what's behind you, or how far. So, me personally, I just wait to see what he's going to do and then go around him or her, whichever one it is.
And that's
is.
A valid point. You know, when you're in a division that does not allow radios, then you can't rely on, obviously,
being,
it's your own judgment
yeah.
To make that call.
Right.
But let's say on a super late model on up, let's say super speedway racing even, you probably rely, I don't know what the percentage is, heavily on a spotter's
uh-huh.
input
yes.
on what's happening on that track. So should Kyle be more mad at his spotter than that guy? I don't know. I mean,
well,
Justin brings up a good point, too. The laps before, and I don't know, you know what groove he was racing in, but he was on a higher groove supposedly the lap before.
That's what Justin said is, I don't see where it is
right
now, but he was running the upper groove for 10 laps prior to that is what mm-hmm. Justin said. So I don't see it in here anymore, but
so I don't know.
And you're right. Should Kyle be mad at that guy? I haven't seen the video. You've
right
just seen the video. I did.
And I only seen that, like, the incident, not prior or post.
Yeah, but Kyle is mad at the driver.
Well, that would
be. But then again, Kyle Spotter don't know where that driver's going. He can only relay where he's at.
Right.
So if he hooked a left off the top groove into this middle groove, Kyle Spotter can relay that, but by time he relays
right
it to Kyle, it's already done.
And again, that video that I saw doesn't show that part of it. When did he get down into the groove that he was in? Because there obviously was a space higher than he was running at when this happened. So did he move down when he should have moved down, you know, half a lap before? Because these guys are running, I don't know what the speeds are, 100 and...
Justin says 150
plus. 150
plus
miles
yeah
an hour. So that stuff's happening,
fast,
you know, instant.
Well, that's
you know
what I mean. If that guy moved down a groove, by time Kyle's spotter responded,
right, he just
to
somebody there. Kyle's hands to decide what to do. Do
right.
I mean, obviously, at 150 plus miles an hour, slowing down sounds easier than it probably mm-hmm is.
Or shit happens faster than you can react to it.
Right.
So, you know.
But then again, we've seen Kyle get out of situations that he
yeah
should have never gotten out of in the past. To, you know, he's an amazing driver. So, I don't know.
I haven't seen the video. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know he wrecked until
right
you know Monday. But I was watching some of his interviews. But
I heard he declined interview because of.
Somewhere along the
something
line, he had said, I'm only here so I don't get fined.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
maybe.
Which might have something to do with what he was saying on the radio.
He was listening to him.
Oh, no way.
I left about
you
halfway
through. You were listening
places
to the, spotter communication
yeah
the whole time? So what
yeah
you hear then? What are we talking about?
Hey, wait, we don't promote that language on this show.
Well, beep, beep, beep. Hey, beep, beep, beep. No.
He was concentrating. It was totally.
Did you? Were you listening up to this point where this happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it was totally quiet.
Well, let's hear your point then, man. We're here speculating and saying all this. Tell us what your
Kyle said.
Yeah. Tell us what Kyle said. Here, get your finger on that button. No.
It was totally quiet. Totally quiet.
Was it quiet most of the race? What is his spotting style with Kyle and what's Kyle's responses, you know, beforehand?
The spotters usually pretty much let him drive.
Okay. So so most of the race, they leave it in Kyle's hands to just drive.
That's
a good piece of information to know because when it's leading up to this incident, it could put it back in Kyle's hands on
right
who
so when he got back onto,
should be making these decisions
yeah
on the track.
When he got back onto the lead lap,
okay,
about 46, 47.
Was there much chatter going on up to that point? Like, you
a little
know,
bit.
By one, by two, by this, or any of that kind of stuff?
Maybe this was the chatter you were hearing.
But
it might have been.
No, it was completely quiet.
Okay.
He was concentrating, just picking cars off.
Do you think they
and then it was
like a private channel just in case?
It's possible.
Yeah, okay.
It's possible. And then it was head into turn one, mother, and then he just went off.
So that was
the cars.
Incident happened. So there was no, you know, hey, car in front of the whatever. I don't know what car moved down. You said a car was in front of him and moved down. I don't know what car that was. There was no communication saying
nope, he was just following his pattern going
okay
around, and then it was just mother F ran into the back of him, and then a couple more swear words and then the car is screwed And then he's like, I have no power.
Did he say screwed?
Something like that.
It was an S word, but not those exact words. No.
I've heard Kyle on the radio before, and I'm almost positive.
You've never heard
him say
screwed.
It wasn't that.
Screwed was not in that vocabulary.
But yeah, he broke the splitter, had front end damage, so that there was no front end downforce. So it was just...
Well, and you know that it is... I can understand his frustration because you're fighting your way back into the lead lap, moving up to a position where you can actually have a...
Make a difference,
a chance to get either a good finishing position or even have a car that's good enough to win, you know, because anything can happen. So I can feel that frustration just from his words.
And I'm sure there wasn't as polite as you're telling us.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, we'll get his radio communication and put it on.
Yeah, we'll have to tap into that.
I'll have to start recording it.
I'm sure it's recorded somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think there was words afterwards in the pits between this other
I'm sure there was.
Teams, like maybe crew members went over there? Or...
No, Kyle Gross takes care of it himself.
Yeah, he does. That's the video from 2 years ago.
Yes.
You get big fines if you do that. That's why you leave your crew members to go take care of that stuff.
So you can pay their fine.
Right. At least you still get the race. Bring in the...
backup.
Yep. But... I don't know, that's a tough one. You know, because them guys do, you know, they're out there knowing that they're not going to be competing for a top-level position, so they know they're going to get lapped. The top-level teams know those cars are out there. It's not a mystery.
Surprise, yeah.
You know, no surprise that they're out there, so they know they're going to be there.
Well, besides that, Martin Truex... Junior,
yeah, I was good.
Won the race.
I was happy to see
he
him
ran a really good race. He was consistent.
Yeah, it's always
Martin Truex.
Yeah, that's always good to see a good driver, an actual good driver, win the race. So, what? Any word from the drivers from our local? Track racing out there, how they did. And,
yeah, we were just talking about Kyle Busch.
No, well, yeah. He don't live here. Oh, he's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Their wives have a reality show.
Yeah.
I just happened to see bits and pieces, and I had to change it because too much drama for me. But I meant that from... No, I'm just kidding. So... I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
You said Stan race.
Stan Mullis raced on Saturday. Yeah.
So what's the starting position? Anybody know?
Did
he start and finish?
Yes. He on Sunday he had told one of the guys there. He drove a truck on Sunday. One of our trucks. Yeah, the parade trucks.
Oh, okay, for the parade trucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
The driver intro trucks, whatever you want to call them. And I heard him telling somebody that the motor was getting ready to expire on Saturday. So it was hurt. So.
But he raced it anyway?
Yeah, they didn't want to blow it up. They
start and park, basically. So what about Justin Johnson?
I haven't heard on Friday. I have not heard where he finished. I don't know where he started. I was looking for it over the...
Right.
Weekend and I couldn't find it.
You know, again, it's tough for these guys that get these opportunities to go race on these tracks because they don't always get the best equipment because the best equipment is given to their top driver. So they're going out there with you know, equipment that is not
top notch.
Yeah, top notch. And I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that the truck that he was going to drive was actually one of their Eldora trucks that they were cleaned up just to get him to be able to try to get it ready for the asphalt.
Oh,
track. I don't know if that's how much of that's true or not.
Stan, I'm sorry, Kevin Terrell said Stan is going to run Richmond, and I did hear him say he was going to run Richmond because he said he's never been at that track
That'd be cool. So he'll run with a fresh motor.
Yeah,
hopefully
with a fresh motor.
And be able to have a chance. Too bad they didn't have one here because this is the backyard. You know, Vegas would be a nice track to have a decent finish.
I don't know, but again, I'm reading off of this. Gary Griffith said that Justin Johnson finished 23rd.
Okay.
So I don't know the whole deal behind
what
that.
What he qualified at or nothing like that.
No, I'm just reading what they're...
Okay. I thought he qualified 13th, I'm not sure.
He started 32nd and finished 23rd is what Justin is saying now.
So that's cool. You know, these guys aren't given the best equipment all the time to be able to...
And again, I don't read it. I don't want to read every one of them, to back your dirt... Gary said it was a dirt car.
Okay. So that's what happened. Yeah. So that's cool to be able to, make something do an asphalt job, from a vehicle that, they put on dirt because it's not their best piece of equipment. So.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
The wonderful Miss Cindy Clark says he didn't qualify.
Oh, okay.
So.
So if they, I don't know how they do it at the top level that. If they don't qualify, what do they do?
Again, I'm just
back?
Reading what these guys are telling us and ladies. So.
Cool. Speaking of Cindy, before we get off track, if you need custom earbuds, because you can't hear your spotter tell you anything, you're going to want a new set of custom earbuds.
I recommend Kyle going to her.
That's right. Kyle, maybe you want to get a set. Call 725-333-4327. Hear Clear. Give Cindy a call. Get a set. If you want a free set, that's easy to do. Just buy yourself a late model truck series truck. Go out and win a heat race and a feature event in one of our trucks on the same night, and Cindy will sponsor you a free pair.
That's right.
That's the easy way to do it. That's the fun way to do it. So you can call 725-333-HEAR and get yourself a set. Call her up. Find out the details, what it costs, and how easy.
So you're saying that Kyle can fly back, rent one of your trucks, win the heat,
the main, and the same night.
Hey, get free earbuds. Not just Kyle.
Any of those guys.
Any of them guys. Shit, Justin Johnson.
I don't care. Any of
them.
Yeah, exactly. And get a free set. Call Cindy and she'll come to you.
Free set of earbuds.
Earbuds. So she'll come to you. So, and thanks for rejuvenating. I don't know. These are fresh, I'm assuming. I'm hoping. Let's see.
It's from the bag in the corner.
They're good. They're fresh. They're still fresh. So give her a call. And thanks, Cindy, for chiming in.
Yes. Now, we got a few minutes left. We're going to switch gears here. Next. The 28th, 11 days from today, is Touch a Truck. Next week, we will have a representative from Touch a Truck on a phone call.
That's next Tuesday already.
Yes, next Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Again, where is this year going?
Yes, so the guys that have been invited to come in next week, you can come in, but it's going to be 20 minutes or 25 minutes of Touch a Truck. So
we're taking your...
That's right.
Taking your time.
That's right.
So come in later. Come in later at a different show.
That's right. Come in another day. We got 52 or 53 a year, however it falls.
That's right.
52 a year. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Something like that.
That's right.
Also, speaking of racing, there is some racing this weekend locally.
Yes.
And again, this is me not being ignorant, I guess. Gary said something about a race this weekend. I was like, this weekend already? We got a local race? And it's the championship night, for all NASCAR divisions. There are some guys that have it locked in. Super late models, Chris Klein.
Chris Klein has won.
He's locked in. He don't even have to show up, does he?
I think he has to start.
Okay. One lap under the green, possibly. So
I believe so.
If not, pretty much locked in the championship spot for Chris Klein.
Congratulations to him.
Yep, congratulations.
I believe, and I'm sure. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Cindy Clark. I think she could pull it off.
So it's possible that she could.
She says I'm 5 points out of the lead.
Wow.
So she needs 6 points.
So you better bring your A game this weekend, Cindy.
I'm rooting for you.
You got teammates out there. You better get them out there to do some blocking.
Get them out
we don't
there
recommend
doing
that.
Some wrecking.
Hey, I'm not last.
You're still in the points race. There you go. You're invited to the. You're invited to the banquet, which actually is coming up quicker than you think,
right.
Because the banquet's actually in October this year, correct? For the LVMS. Man.
I have 23 points.
Cindy, you're in trouble.
Oh no.
Kevin Terrell says he's going to go help her.
Oh.
You sure you ain't going to be on a plane?
Hey, he will be there. Maybe late.
Uh huh.
But better late than never.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody be pulling out, and he'll be pulling in. I'm here to help.
Hey, don't give Kevin a hard time.
Hey. If I didn't give Kevin a hard time, who would?
Probably everybody else. Now, that's cool. So Cindy's got a chance. So,
uh-oh.
Good luck. Hopefully you
What day did you say that banquet was?
I said October. I didn't know a date. 7th? No.
5th?
5th.
5th?
Let's
no.
see. It would have to be 5th or
Chuck,
the 12th.
Chuck said the 5th.
Okay, I believe him because that's a Saturday.
Yes.
Well, if everyone would check their email that they gave to the track, Tim Richter just sent it.
I don't check my email that often.
Uh-uh.
No.
Uh-uh.
So it's in October. So first week. So it's coming up quicker than you think. Usually it's, what is it? Usually in November?
November.
So
usually.
Month earlier than normal. So keep an eye out. I'm sure they'll send out more reminders.
See what I'm talking about? You wonder why I give Kevin a hard time? First he says he'll go, I'll go back to back with Cindy. And then it says he'll be in Chicago.
Oh. What's he all the flying all the time for?
Kevin's a flyer.
Okay.
I don't know what he does.
Oh, well.
He works.
Obviously, he travels a lot.
Yes.
More power to you. And then who else has it locked in? Do we know?
I was just trying to get into my email, but I got sidetracked.
Oh, man. So I know there's one or two other drivers in the championship points that have it locked in. Does Vinny, is he first in points? Does he have it locked up? I don't know. In the Bombers? Not sure. But go to LVMS.com.
I'm looking right now.
Okay, LVMS.com. Click on the Bullring link. You can see all the information there, schedules, rosters, points, everything.
Uh-oh.
You can check it out there. So we're out of time anyway. So
first place is 20 points?
I don't know what the
points.
I don't know how they do their points.
Yeah, it looks like Vinny Rucci Jr. 314. Second place, Adam Simon is 277.
Oh, so he's out of it. Which is, you know what? Congrats to Adam Simon for his hard charging this year to get up that second spot and fast on any given night could have been his race. Good run, Adam Simon in the Bombers. And, hey, go out there. We'll see all you guys out at the Speedway this weekend, out at the short track at Bullring. Good luck out there to all you guys in the championship points that have a chance. So,
and don't forget, August 12th, the late model truck series is to Willow Springs.
October 12th. So. And we'll talk more about this coming weekend race next Tuesday at 6 p.m. At onboardnow.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.